But regardless of whatever Tolkien wanted, in the background history, you have Lachiman and Brut in this very, very long epic, and then you have a flowering of Arthurian literature a little bit later. Arthurian literature was made massively popular by writers in French, Chrétien de Troyes, who lived from 1135 to 1183, and Marie de France, who probably lived in England but wrote in French. Both of these writers collected Arthurian materials, turned them into romance, and stitched them together, though they weren't in complete large epics. And Marie de France is actually called the Lay of Marie de France. These are short tales that have been collected together but didn't necessarily overlap with each other. In the later Middle Ages in England, we have another interest in Arthurian materials that we see in the poem Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, which is about Gawain, Arthur's nephew and one of his greatest knights, and takes place at the beginning at the court of Camelot. So we know that Arthurian material was popular there. Chaucer also deals with Arthurian material in The Wife of Bath's Tale. And so we know that this idea of Camelot, this idea of Arthur, was really powerful in England for centuries. Well, sometime between 1450 and 1470, so between 50 and 70 years after Chaucer's death, Thomas Malory, in his Morte d'Arthur, collects together all of the Arthurian stories he could come upon, and he rationalizes them. He makes them create an effective story arc. The Arthurian stories now have a coherent outline, and they're put to the service of one long epic. And Malory holds the same place in Arthurian literature as Tolkien does in fantasy literature. After Malory, everyone who comes along has to deal with the Morte d'Arthur, has to at least say, I'm departing from it, or I'm imitating it, or I'm explaining it in some different way. That's how important Malory is. And Malory is hugely influential, in fact, is the great influence on T.H. White, whose Once and Future King is the primary book we're going to talk about. But of course, things don't just jump right from Malory in 1470 to T.H. White in 1939. There's a lot of things that happen in between there. And the most important of those for our purposes is the major interest in Arthur that happens during the Victorian period and the crossover of Arthur from just adventure material into very serious literature that happens when Alfred Lord Tennyson, the most respected and award-winning poet of his time, creates The Idylls of the King, which is a series of poems based on the Arthur material. There we have King Arthur as absolute high culture, and it still studies absolute high culture, though many people, myself included, would suggest that these are not actually Tennyson's best poems, that Tennyson is trying too hard to be archaic and unusual, and when he writes more naturally, his poems are better. But anyway, they're still great poems, and they're taken seriously by the Academy. Now, literary history doesn't just jump from Alfred Lord Tennyson to T.H. White. In fact, what happens in Arthurian literature is very analogous to what happens in fantasy literature in general, in that the Victorians developed markets. And there's a lot of Arthurian material that goes into children's literature and children's fantasy. There's lots of King Arthur's tales for children and moralistic versions of the Knights of the Round Table and so forth. And that's really what T.H. White's also building upon, though he himself would say he's going right back to Malory. But there's this big tradition of popular Arthurian materials until then.